Lord. First and foremost, I want to thank all of you for that are here for coming. I say that you are very brave in doing so. You don't know us. But I trust that by the time that we are finished, you will know that we have been sent of God to share with you to break the bread of life. Before I start, I'd like to introduce ourselves. My wife Nancy.
Sister Nancy.
She is my faithful companion, has been traveling with me back and forth across the world, suffering the many hardships that come because of the travel. She has always been a strength and an encouragement to me. Praise the Lord. I can say that many times when I was ready to throw in the towel, she encouraged me not to. And she was very successful in doing so. Praise the Lord. Perhaps you have something you would like to.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, I was just thanking the Lord just for His mercy. That is new every morning. Did you know that God says that we have not because we ask not? And you know, we need to ask for that mercy every day. Ask for that portion that is given to us to help us through this day. The mercy that it was shed for us to, and the power of the blood of Jesus to fight off anything that was coming. So I would just encourage you to every day. Oh, get that portion that God wants for you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. We also have with us on this particular trip Brother Mark and his wife Rita. I met Brother Mark
1989.
Well, yes.
How many years? 20 years? 40 years?
But that was our first trip together. And it was the beginning of a very long and prosperous relationship. We traveled to Nigeria together. We have been many times together in Africa, Europe, and in India. Praise the Lord. He's a very good brother and very faithful. Praise the Lord. And a very good friend. Last but not least, we have Brother George with us. I have the privilege of not only being a good friend and having a good friend with George, but my son is married to his daughter. Praise the Lord. It's always good to be on good terms with your son's father-in-law. Praise the Lord. And between us, we share 8 grandchildren. So our quiver is full and we are blessed. Praise the Lord. My name is Bert, B-U-R-T. I think some of you sometimes find that as hard to pronounce as I do your name. Hallelujah. But the good news is that we all, by the blood of Jesus Christ, have a new name written in heaven. The fact of the matter is, it says, no one knows that name except the Father. And you know, I think that no one knows that name because the nature of the individual is still being formed and fashioned. Hallelujah. And it is much like, I think, Abraham, when he was instructed of God to take his son Isaac and to take him to the top of the mount and to sacrifice him. You know, I cannot imagine how the man could do what he did in obedience to the word of God. But what I have is a desire that I would have the same tenacity or an determination to do what Abraham did. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We might think we would do something of that nature, but it would seem to me very, very difficult. And without something changing within my nature, it would be impossible. But there was something very significant in the fact of what Abraham did that we need to know about. Hallelujah. And now we're talking about a nature change and a new name. It is probably more true in the African arena that you know that names have meanings. You often name your children, or you have been named after some attribute of God or some aspect of thing that means something in the name. Hallelujah. And when you call the name, you call the nature. Hallelujah. That is why in the scripture, when it says, when two or three are gathered in my name, we're not talking about gathering in the name of the man called Jesus, but we are talking about the presence and the nature of God that comes in the gathering together. Hallelujah. But there is something very important about Abraham. And as he was going up that hill with his son Isaac, going through all of the aspects of what it was required to in order to offer him as a sacrifice, and as he laid Isaac on the table and he raised the knife to bring down and to fulfill the act of sacrifice, and quite frankly, I do not think that he was pausing or waiting to see whether or not God would intervene.
Abraham
I believe that it was something in his heart he had determined to do, and he was doing it, and he was doing it with all of his might. Not only all of his might, but all of the anguish that was in his soul over the fact of what it was that he was doing. Because this son was a promised seed. This son had, Abraham had to work and toil and wait for 99 years for this son. So I believe in the act of what obedience to him, all of that intensity of emotion and mind.
Hallelujah.
Was concentrated on the act of the plunging of that knife into his son. And when the Lord God, when that knife was coming down upon that sacrifice,
hallelujah,
I believe that God physically intervened. And he stopped the knife from plunging into the body of Isaac. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God said an astounding thing. He said, Abraham, now I know you. You're talking about omnipotent, almighty, omnipresent God. Not knowing something about Abraham. And yet in the moment of Abraham's obedience, something in Abraham was created that was brand new to Abraham, and brand new in Abraham as far as God's knowledge was concerned. Hallelujah. He said, now I know you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have been traveling and ministering the Word of God for many years. I'm not quite sure how long it's been, but it's been somewhere between the 40 and 45 years that I have been involved in the gospel of the church. I know probably that's kind of hard to believe. I don't look that old, right? But nevertheless, you know, they don't even smile. You're very serious this morning. My goodness. You know, the Lord, when he called me, he says, do not be afraid of their faces. Hallelujah. So, you know, you might as well smile, because you're not going to scare me away. Praise the Lord. Of those 40 some years, we have been traveling across the world, into Africa, into India, many different places in Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, Central African Republic, the Congos, different places, Ethiopia. I have been to Ethiopia probably 5 times. Praise the Lord. And this will make my 6th time, I think. We have also been into Europe in many different places, and for the last 38 years about, we have been preaching the gospel of the kingdom and the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But my gospel that I am preaching to you is a little different than what you might hear if you go to your church and sit in your pew. There might be some similarities, true. But there are some things that the church, I believe, that the Lord has showed me that the church has lost. Hallelujah. You know, I may never see you again. But what I am sharing with you, I believe to be the Word of God. I'm going down. Hallelujah. I kind of like ground level. Hallelujah. The church, in the essence of what it is, seems to have lost its focus. I have gone to so many different places in the world, and every place that I've gone, there is significant evidence of religious societies and church organizations. You walk, hallelujah. In fact, I was sitting at dinner last night with a couple, and they were telling me that in Ethiopia alone there are over 700 registered church organizations. 700 within Ethiopia. Huh? Well, I don't know. He was telling me 700.
Maybe it's just
hallelujah. Regardless of what the number is, it's a significant amount of religious activity. And the disintegration of the society around you is not being arrested. In fact, the society and the degradation and corruption that is around you gets worse every year. And the fact of what it is getting is not in the fact that it's getting worse, it's getting darker. Hallelujah. And I will tell you something that I believe that the Lord is telling to me. And I have to share it with you. There is an enemy that the Bible calls darkness. Hallelujah. And in its intent is to destroy light. And when you connotate darkness, it is darkness is Satan and all of the evil or wickedness that is being perpetrated against humanity. Hallelujah. And that light is the essence of God in the position of you as a Christian who has accepted His blood. Hallelujah. And the animosity that is in darkness. Now, what do you translate animosity? What is in the, what would be the English?
If you just change it, another word is another vocabulary word.
Animosity.
Yes. Change it.
You don't know.
We don't know. Animosity. You mean?
I want to know what you when. Okay, the Bible says in Romans, it says that the carnal mind is an enmity against God. That word enmity in the English can be translated to animosity. And what it means is a active, aggressive, murderous hatred. Darkness does not look at light as something that can exist within the realm in which it abides.
Hallelujah.
Darkness must eradicate, terminate, destroy anything that is in the least respect like unto light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can liken it unto cancer. Cancer is something that invades your body. Hallelujah. And it feeds off of your body. But in the feeding on your body, it grows in strength. It grows in authority and power over your body until it becomes to a place to where it kills you. Though it's living inside of you and you are the source of its life, its intent is not to maintain its life, its intent is to kill you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is a description of darkness. Hallelujah. And you know, we were all born in darkness. Because when you are born again, the Bible says that you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But the problem with that thinking is that we take some of the darkness with us. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. The Bible says that we at one time walked in darkness. We were agents of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there is a need for us to understand the scope of what it is that we are fighting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not so much the drinking, the smoking, the sexuality that is our problem. Those are manifestations. Those are activities that are being generated from something that is called darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there was something very, very interesting about this darkness. I wish we had something I could write on so I could draw you some pictures. My mother used to say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Hallelujah. I can draw you a picture, and I'll try not to bore you with 1,000 words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is something of an understanding that God is bringing to people who have been touched by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For this last day, brethren, we are living in the last final stages of what the Bible calls the coming of Jesus Christ. But unlike much church doctrine that says in the time of trouble you do not have to worry because you are going to be taken out of the world. Hallelujah. You were not made to being taken out of the world. You were created as an entity of God, as an extension of God, to have dominion over the world. Hallelujah. And when I say dominion, I don't mean ruling over your brother, or ruling over your sister, or ruling over your husband or your wife. Hallelujah. I'm talking about all things being brought into a position of worship and adoration with regards to the position of God. Hallelujah. God never intended to create an organization. If you are belonging to an organization, and that is your structure of church, hallelujah, you are not fulfilling the calling in the election that is upon you by reason of your new birth. Hallelujah. Organization is a world concept. Hello? Did you hear me? The structure of the church is no different than the corporate structure of any business. You have the president, you have the vice president, you have the board of directors, you have the shareholders. Hallelujah. You have the shareholders, and then you have the employees. Hallelujah. That is world structure. We call it a different name. We call it pastor. Or we call it pope. Or we call it vice pastor. Then we have our elders. And then we have our deacons. And then we have our congregation. Hallelujah. It's all a pyramid system. Boy, if you really don't want to hear God, you will not come back tomorrow. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, tribulation is coming to Ethiopia. Tribulation is coming to Ethiopia. I was in Ethiopia, wasn't I? When the trouble broke out, or maybe I was in Sierra Leone. I don't remember where I was. when one of these African countries,
Kenya.
Huh?
Kenya.
I don't know, but no, that was before that.
Oh.
I was here. I was here in Ethiopia when the trouble broke out in Egypt. And I went down into prayer, and the Lord said to me, it is a tsunami wave of violence. Hello? A tsunami wave of violence. And he defined it as a tsunami wave of darkness. He says it's going to spread across. It's going to spread across Africa. Now, I documented all of this. I sent it out to my mailing list of people. Prior to the fact of what transpired and what is yet now going on this continent. Hallelujah. And the Lord told me that this wave would spread to Europe, and it would spread into the United States. I was in Europe, and I was sharing with them this word that the Lord had spoken to me. And as I was speaking about the violence of darkness, London was burning. Did you hear the news about London? The insurrection, hallelujah, the violence, the thievery, and all of the stuff that was going on. You did not even hear half of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's coming to Ethiopia. And we have been sent to warn you as a people of God, hallelujah, that you need to take a hard look at what you are involved in, and if it has the earmarks of what is out here in the world, you need to repent. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you to repent to me. Hallelujah. I don't know that I will be in Ethiopia when your trouble starts. Hallelujah. But what I am telling you by the Spirit this morning, trouble is coming. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me in 2010, He said, yet once more will I shake the earth, and I will also shake the heaven. Hallelujah. That all that is shook might be removed. Hallelujah. There was a dear sister by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a Holland girl, Dutch by birth, and she was a young person during the Second World War in Holland. You can go online. She has a book. She has many books. She has passed on now to be with the Lord. And her family was involved in hiding Jews and smuggling them out of the country. One day she got caught, and her family was arrested. She never saw her father again. Her sister and herself were put into a prison, and they went through a hellacious time of suffering. But in the midst of that suffering, because of her position of personal relationship with God, she survived. Her sister died. Her sister died about a week before they were liberated by the U.S. troops that were coming in to that area. And then the Lord took her and sent her back and forth around the world, warning the church that persecution was coming. I believe that she lived a while in Uganda for about a year or so, and until the day she died or passed on to be with God, she was telling the church, tribulation is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is something in the midst of all of this that God is wanting to do with the people that have an ear, that have an ear to hear. There's some water in my case there somewhere. There is something that God wants to do. I've told you the bad news. Now I want to tell you the good news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When anybody has bad news, I always ask them if they have good news. Because I want to hear the bad news first and the good news last. Amen. Hallelujah. When there was a similar situation in the earth, as we are now facing in this time frame, hallelujah, when wickedness and darkness was growing, and wickedness and darkness was not only persecuting the righteous, hallelujah, they were murdering the righteous until there were only 8 left. Can you imagine such a story as that? And yet it is recorded in your Bible that you might know the reality of what it is in the end time, the conditions and what they are going to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what it is that God is intending to do. Now, if there was ever people that needed to be raptured because of their dire predicament and the threat that was upon their lives, hallelujah, it was Noah and his family. Hallelujah. But God did not choose to rapture them. Did you hear me? If anybody needed to be raptured, it would have been Noah. There were only 8 people left in the world who had any sense of God or any sense of righteousness. How do you think the number became so few? Huh? I would say it was by the process of elimination. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there are certain places you cannot go as a Christian and behave like a Christian. There are certain things you can't say because of your Christian nature. There's certain things you can't talk about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's certain things you can't talk about. Now, you think that those barriers are off out there somewhere. But that darkness is getting greater, it's getting stronger, it's growing in numbers. Exponentially. Hallelujah. What are you going to do when it begins to knock on your door? If you wait until it knocks on your door, you will be too late. Hallelujah. But what we have is the example of Noah. It says that Noah found grace in the sight of God. Hallelujah. First and foremost, it had to be something in Noah and his behavior, hallelujah, that was generating this favor of grace in God toward him. Hallelujah. And in the midst of his tribulation, and in the midst of his darkness that was around him, Noah preached about the position of righteousness and the need for a relationship with a living God. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing. The technology we now have, it seems like even the poorest of the poor have a cell phone. It's amazing. When I came to Africa, nobody even had telephones. They had to wait. They had to put in an application to get a landline. And some people were waiting for 5, 7, 10, 12 years to get a landline. Hallelujah. And now everybody has a cell phone. Communication is instantaneous. I can take my cell phone here, type a little message to my son, press a button, and it's gone, and he's got it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It goes faster than I can think. Hallelujah. And now they're saying, what would you do if you had no cell phone? Oh my. Huh? What would you do? Hallelujah. We would go through cell phone withdrawal. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. But you know something? Our relationship with God, with our relationship with Jesus Christ, should go beyond the technology that we have, that we carry in our pocket. If we rely on the thing we carry in our pocket, it becomes a hindrance to us, and it keeps us from hearing from God. Hallelujah. I find that some of you find it difficult to come into a meeting like this, to sit to hear God without turning off your cell phone. You don't want to miss anything. You don't want to have a problem. Hallelujah. I was sitting in a meeting in Nigeria, and the word of God was flowing. There was an anointing on the speaker, and people in the congregation were being delivered by that word. And the whole time the word is going on, there's this lady behind me. She's texting on her cell phone. And I'm hearing this beep, 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 beep. Hallelujah. And it is not uncommon. Hallelujah. We have no time for God. Hallelujah. Our days are full of business. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you and I need to pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Now that means that inside of me there is a communing and a fellowship with God going on 24/7. Hallelujah.
Amen.
24/7. Hallelujah. That means while I am asleep, I am still in fellowship with God. So that as I am sleeping, and there's a spirit that comes into me to harass me, to vex me, to bring me into a place of condemnation, hallelujah, I am able to rise up in my sleep and rebuke it. Hallelujah. Not submit to it. Not become subjugated to its passion. Not letting that spirit defile me. You understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I am not doing that, then my communication with God is breaking down. If I have that problem, and believe you me, I was in Sierra Leone and I know about the spirits that walk in darkness. Do you know? You know the devil. He is so organized. He is so smooth. He is so precise. He is not sloppy in what he is doing. And he has been slaughtering the church. Hallelujah. And if he does not kill us physically, he begins to work on our spirituality. You know, there is something I found out about the devil as a young man, and that is that the devil could not stop you from being saved when you made up your mind that you wanted to be saved. Hell couldn't stop you. You have a personal testimony in your salvation of the strength and the power that is in you. Hallelujah. Before you were even saved. Hallelujah. Devil could not stop you, sir, for giving your heart to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So as you go out into witness and you have the Spirit of God and you begin to share with an individual, hallelujah, that power reaches out to grab hold of that soul. Hallelujah. The devil can't stop it. So the devil decided to get into church business. We have a saying in the States, if you can't beat them, join them. If you can't beat them, if you can't defeat them,
okay, you already say,
join them. Join them. Act like one of them. Put on those holy garments. Hallelujah. Carry that nice big Bible. Learn the scripture. Do you know that the devil can quote scripture? Hallelujah. I had a demon possessed man get up into my face and start quoting the book of the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He quoted verse after verse. He did better than I did. He knew more scripture than I knew. Hallelujah. So the devil knows your Bible very well. And there's a scriptural position for that. When God was in the wilderness, hallelujah, the devil came to God. He wrote the book. Hallelujah. It says, is it not written that man should not live by bread alone? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, make these stones bread. You know Jesus. He wrote the book. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. This book, in most churches, is historical. We look at it as a history book. It's something that is relegated to the past. We use certain scriptures to promote certain programs. If you're evangelical, you put out all the evangelicals evangelical scriptures. All the scriptures that pertain to salvation. All the scriptures that pertain to water baptism. If you're Pentecostal, you take what the evangelicals got and you put on top of the pile all the attributes that are talking about the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we seem to leave out the rest. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. Be ye perfect. Hallelujah. And Paul said unto the church, I would to present you blameless. Did you hear me? I want to give you as blameless unto God. Spirit, soul, and body. All inclusive. Totality. And he's not talking at the end of the day when you pass across into life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're talking about the doctrine of perfection. Paul, when he wrote, he talked about salvation, he talked about baptism, he talked about the coming of Jesus Christ, he talked about the aspects of the Spirit, and then he says, let us go on. Are you going on? Or are you stuck in the mud of theology? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Does your theology incorporate the position and the desire that God had for you when he created Adam? Do you think God changes his mind?
No.
Do any of you think God changes his mind? The Bible says that he can't. Says there's no shadow of turning in him. What was yesterday is the same today, and what is today is the same tomorrow. Hallelujah. God does not change his mind. So why is it that we as Christians are trying to change God's mind for him? Hallelujah. Why do we not see the totality of what it is that God has for us as his created being? If God doesn't change his mind, then the principle that is set down in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, when he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And let them have dominion. Did you hear it? Our idea of dominion is telling somebody else what to do. Our idea of dominion is being in charge. Our idea of dominion is being the boss. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Do you understand what I'm saying? I think I'm talking to people that God brought here for you to hear, because I believe that something in your soul is dissatisfied with the condition and the position of relationship that you have with a living God. Hallelujah. What God wants is not an organization. Hallelujah. But what God wants is an organism. Organization is inflexible. It's stiff. It can't change. Hallelujah. And if it does change, it has to always change for its benefit. Corporate, anybody that runs a business, hallelujah, if they want to stay in business, it's bottom line. It's bottom line. What is it at the end of the day? What is the bottom line? And you want that bottom line in the black. You don't want it in the red. You want it in the black. Hallelujah. It is contrary to God. It's contrary to God. And we work that way in church because we do not know God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was a little farm boy in rural California, out in the countryside. God sent a prophet to my door. I was out in the middle of a big tree farm, an orchard. Hallelujah. But God sent a prophet. He came into that orchard. He came into my door. And he prophesied over me as to what I would be doing and where I would be going in the end time. I had no money. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? I had no money. I had no organization. I still have no money. I still have no organization. But what I got is the crude, the oil in the bottom of the cruise. Hello? And the meal in the bottom of the pan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes that oil gets down to drops. Sometimes that grain gets down to minuscule individual particles. But never has God brought me to shame or brought me to a place of hopelessness. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
We have to start turning ourselves around, being delivered not of demons and devils, but of theology. We need to be delivered. Our minds need to be cleansed. Hallelujah. Of all the religious paraphernalia that we see God needs. Hallelujah. God doesn't even need loudspeakers and microphone systems. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think our noise drives God out of the place. Hallelujah. We have to understand, God doesn't want organization. God wants organism. He wants what he calls a body. Did you hear me? Does your Bible talk about the body of Christ? Hallelujah. If it doesn't, then you need to get a new Bible. Hallelujah. Because it is body that God wants. And God does not want, Brother Tassel, two heads. Did you hear me? Anything that has two heads is a monster. It's a beast. It's a freak. God's body has one head. One head. One head. And my body coordinates everything with that one head. Hallelujah. And you know, the Bible even tells me that my left hand shouldn't know what my right hand is doing. That means my left hand doesn't have a mind of its own to determine whether the right hand is doing the right thing. Hallelujah. And do you know my hands can do two things at the same time, and they can be different in nature. Hallelujah. A woman can be holding a baby and patting it and cooking food. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not the hands of being interacting to determine what is the best thing to do. It's the head. Hallelujah. You can drive your car and talk on your cell phone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants one head. God only wants one body. One body. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. We do not know the concept. We call ourselves body because we are born again. But it's a misconception. You are not in the body until you are with the head. Hallelujah. And the head is not going to tell one part of my body something different than the other part of my body. And the parts of my body are going to harmonize together to do what the head has in his mind. Hallelujah. We were in Nigeria. Hallelujah. We had gone to a conference in Port Harcourt a couple years back. And when we went, we were told not to go by different people because of the trouble that they were having in Port Harcourt. They were kidnapping. They were kidnapping white people. Hallelujah. Well, I never really considered myself white, other than outside of light. Hallelujah. I was raised in the gospel by a Jamaican who was very black and traveled with him extensively for 30 some years. Lived in his home with him and his wife. They have been in my home with my grandchildren. Hallelujah. So color is irrelevant as far as I am concerned. Praise the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, there is a position of relationship that God is wanting to bring us to. Hallelujah. That makes no difference. Hallelujah. You know, my wife was reminded me last night of a testimony we have. Many, many years ago, we were traveling with this couple, brother and sister Dusil, and we were in India, and they were on a train that had these benches, and we were going down the road. I was sitting on the end, brother Dusil was sitting next to me, and sister Dusil was sitting on the other side of me, I believe. My wife was sitting across from us, and an Indian sister was sitting next to her, and they were talking and sharing the different things of their life. Now, Brother Dusil was very black. His features, his color, his hair, everything was very black. Hallelujah. And I trust I'm not offending you. Hallelujah. And this woman leaned over to my wife and said, "Now, that is your husband." She said, "Yes, that's my husband." And she said, "And that is his father." And she said, "Yes, that is his father." I told Brother Dusil later, "I guess I made the grade." Praise God. Hallelujah. But we were in Nigeria, and we had gone there by the word of God. And we had not been to Nigeria for many years. But we had decided to go, even though there was troublous times and people were being kidnapped. Hallelujah. So we went, and when we got there, I wasn't aware of all of the ramifications of it, but I noticed the brethren were very careful and cautious, and they hustled us into a van. and drove us away immediately. But in that conference, we were supposed to be a week. And on the second day, I got a text message from the United States, and the brother that was with me, who was from U.S., got a text message from the from Europe. And at the same time, there was a brother in the fellowship who had a dream. Hallelujah. I'm telling you how the body is supposed to work. And the message was that there was a plan in the devil's mind to arrest us by this group of rebels and to hold us for ransom. Hallelujah. And when we went to the brethren, we shared with them, we went down and prayed. God gave us detailed instructions on what to do. Hallelujah. And He delivered us out of the situation. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be in a position or in a place. Hallelujah. To be able to communicate with God. My only problem with all of that is I had not yet come to a place that I could not do without my cell phone. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? One day my cell phone will not work. Am I going to be as attuned to God as I would be if I had it? Hallelujah. So God is bringing a word of preparation for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is bringing a word of preparation to us, and He is wanting to prepare a people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that in the time of trouble, that people will be a refuge for those who do not have that position or that place of safety or awareness. Hello? As in the days of Noah, who was building an ark. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? It wasn't rapture, it was a boat. It was a boat. Hallelujah. And I'm going to stop there because I've used up most of my time. And probably some of your coffee break.
Amen.
Amen.